Hey everyone, this is John here. Welcome back to the 90s podcast right here in the Because Movie Network, and thank you for joining us on our mid-season finale. Why mid-season? I'll tell you at the end of the episode. No, it's nothing bad, but just it's going to interrupt production flow, so that's why I said, you know, I'll catch you at the end of this. We're here to talk about one of the finest racing games ever created, the original Gran Turismo. Yes. But first, let's do some housekeeping. If you like what you see, go to becausemovienetwork.com. That's where you'll find our archives of every episode that we've ever done, ever. Go check out Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's where you find all of our latest news and what's going on. Check them out at becausemaybenetwork, at underscore becausemaybe, or facebook.com/becausemaybenetwork. I don't usually say that. I'm stretching for time because I talk quickly, and this is going to have the episode done in about 2 minutes if I keep this up. So, so how's everybody doing? This has been an interesting week for me. Hope you guys are having an interesting week. It's been a lot of fun, and a lot of things have gone on that, yeah. But on the whole, it's been a fun experience. So, how's your week been? Let us know on our Facebook page, okay? I have been preparing for what's coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And I want to thank everybody, now that my train of thought is derailed, but I want to thank everybody who's taken the time to watch our Monkey Island series over on our YouTube channel. There's more of it coming. Yes, there's 10 episodes overall. So I hope you guys enjoy watching the Monkey Island series. There's a labor of love, and I'm hoping to get Monkey Island 3 complete and out the door before too much longer. Oops, I've given away what I'm doing next, but well. and then we're going to take another break, and I'll probably do some streams. I don't know yet. Anyway, this isn't an extra episode. This is a Because Maybe episode. So let's get into this. We're here talking about the 1998 racing simulation game, Gran Turismo. It was a stock car racing simulation developed by Polys Entertainment, released on Sony Computer Entertainment, Japan, Europe, or America, depending on where you went. And of course, it was on the PlayStation 1. It was released May 12th, 1998 in North America and May 8th, 1998 in Europe. And it sold 10.85 million copies, which is unheard of at the time for a racing game. Its critical rating across all the critics I could find and aggregated their score and everything is 96 out of 100. Which is phenomenal. You can hardly get movies that do 96 out of 100, never mind a video game about going around a circuit three times. So, I'm going to butcher some names, so I apologize in advance for any of our Japanese audience if I butcher these names, and it's not intentional, I just don't know how to pronounce them. But Japanese developer Kazuri Yamaguchi was working on a Japanese exclusive game called Multitune Grand Prix in the early 90s. So he and his team began work on a new game in the summer of 1992. The developer wanted to use the same team, so until work was completed on Motor 2 Grand Prix 2, development was slow. So Yamaguchi estimates he was only home for the 20 days during the development of Gran Turismo, which is a lot of days off, which is a lot of days on, man. Imagine that, you know, between 1990 and 1998. That's a big time. It's a big time difference. But the game engine of Gran Turismo was the same as Multitune Grand Prix 2 and mostly the physics of the game. So the original goal was to have 12 cars in each race and 4 laps, but because of the limitation of the PlayStation, you could only do 6 competitors and 2 laps, which, given the size of some of those tracks, I mean, it's not like Mario Kart where you do two laps and it's you know, quick and it's over and done with. This is, you know, legitimate tracks that went for 2-3 miles, and you had to drive around them and do all the obstacles. There was not obstacles, but you know, the twists and turns that came with the motor racing game. Remember, they wanted to make a legitimate simulation with this game, so that's what they did. It was the first game that was developed, actually, that had DualShock control pad for the Sony PlayStation. So the first game that was developed solely for analog sticks. And we can't live without our analog sticks now, but this was the first developed by Sony. I think this might have been the first game. Well, I just said it was the first game. It was the first game developed, but I think it was the first game that really showed what the analog stick could do, because a lot of people were skeptical about that. And this game is huge, by the way. This game runs a lot on a lot of RAM and a lot of CPU. It's estimated that when it's running at its peak, it uses 75% of the PlayStation's performance level, which is massive. I mean, look, I don't have to tell you guys about my love of Skyrim. Skyrim only uses 35% of my computer's capacity. And now that shows how far, you know, it shows how far computers have come along, but it also shows how far games have come along too. Because if I tried to play Skyrim on my computer that I had back then, it would melt everything. In fact, I don't even think I could get it on the computer. I don't think I had enough space. I think I had a whopping like 100 gigabytes of hard drive, which, you know, was a lot back then. Let Granddad tell you a story, kids. but no, Gran Turismo was, I mean, a labor of love, and it was a fine, fine game. It was well worth the development time. Now, I'm not sure Mr. Yamaguchi, who was only home 20 days during a five-year development, will say that. He missed a lot of time with his family, but as far as the game itself goes, I think, you know, it was great. I mean, you got to understand, a lot of stock car racing games didn't exist. It was either Formula One games or wacky games like Micro Machines. Or Destruction Derby, I think, was the first stock car game that had been released in a long, long time. And the goal of Destruction Derby was to destroy your opponent's vehicles while keeping your own not blown up, you know. And it did have a stock car element race, which is a legitimate racing element to it, but it wasn't as good as, you know, what Gran Turismo would become. The game itself features 140 unique vehicles, which is incredible, the amount of vehicles. Unfortunately, it only contains 22 tracks, and only 11 of those tracks are original. Basically, there's the original track, and then you run the track in reverse to give you a second track. So that kind of had a limitation on it. When you've got 140 unique vehicles, you need a good variety of racetracks. And unfortunately, there was only 11. But at the same time, you know, you got to understand, this was 1998. The Sony PlayStation was the peak of performance, and the amount of development that went into this, you know, the hyper-realistic that they were going for at the time, a lot of things did have to be cut down and scaled down. There are two kinds of modes in this game. There's the arcade mode and the simulation mode. Yes. What does that mean? Well, arcade mode is what it says on the tin. You pick a car that's available and you race on an available track. You know, insert coin here, select character, select track, bang, go. You know? So that was a good, that was a fine, fine thing to do if you had two players as well. Now, the performance dropped, but, you know, it was worth the two players that you had playing in that. It also had a simulation mode, which was career mode, for lack of a better term. You compete with the AI drivers to become champion of a specific cup. You know, to do this, you have to win races and win big. Winning races give you in-game credits, and you have to have a license. So one of the things it made you do was get a license before you took on any of the bigger challenges. Now, I never made it past the basic license, because this game is kind of hard, you know. It is easy, normal, and hard is the difficulty, but this is a, you know, this is a very, very hard game if you're not good at it. Now, I've claimed for many, many years, doing the 90s gamer, that I am a gamer, but I'm not a very good gamer. The only game I've legitimately got down where I can play on the hardest difficulty without any problems is Skyrim, but the only reason that is because I've been playing it for 10 years. Come on, Bethesda, give us a new game. Anyway, in simulation mode, you win races, get credits, you have to have a license. Different series require different licenses, but you can customize your car. So you can have new tires, new balancing, you can make it look like an actual race car with sponsorships on there. You know, it's actual hard work, and you pay your in-game credits to do that. Also, when you win a race series, they gift you a car, which you can either use, upgrade, or you can sell for parts. The car that they give you is not a great car, to be honest, but you know, it's good for getting some in-game credits and selling it. I had like 5 at one point that I didn't realize you could sell. So then when I sold them, I got a bunch of credits and upgraded my main car, and I was able to, you know, to drive better on other circuits. Now, in simulation mode, the races and tracks do get progressively more difficult the further you go along. I mean, obviously, the higher license you have, the harder the track's going to be. And then you've got 3 levels of difficulty, easy, normal, and hard, and, you know, this is a difficult game, like I mentioned. Unless you were good at car racing games, and then it's, you know, it's easy, normal, or hard, depending on how you want to play it. But, you know, this had things and modes that a lot of car games didn't have. Like, you had to learn how to drift. You had to learn how to take corners. You had to learn how to use slipstream and stuff like that. And the game did a good job in getting all that into the game itself. It was a difficult, like I mentioned, it was a difficult development cycle. But the amount of care that went into it, you know, makes it what it is. I mean, it's a good game. It's a hyper realistic simulation. Back when a lot of the simulations were cartoony, because I think the biggest selling car game around about that time was Micro Machines. And, you know, if you've played Micro Machines, you know it's nothing to be taken serious. It's just a bunch of, well, Micro Machines. You know, you can play around and have some fun and, you know, just make sure that you've got your left and rights mixed up. And but this was legit. This was, Gran Turismo was legit. It made you feel like you were in an actual race car. Let's move on to the soundtrack real quick. The soundtrack of this game features 2 different soundtracks. There's an original soundtrack, which was created by the developers, which uses a combination of generic rock, techno, etc., designed to pump up the driver. You know, designed to get them ready to go, to drive around. And the second is a list of contemporary songs. Now, this is where I discovered a lot of bands growing up. Bands like Feeder, Garbage, and Ash, you know, they had music played on Gran Turismo, and that's how I discovered them. You got then bands like Placebo, Garbage, David Bowie, and Manson. There's another band that I discovered through Gran Turismo. The soundtrack to this game, if you put this soundtrack on an album, just as an album, it'd be one of the greatest albums ever released. For a video game soundtrack, this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Songs like Sweet 16 and Lose Control are just, you know, oh my goodness. It's such a good soundtrack. Now, the original soundtrack is great too, but the contemporary soundtrack, chef's kiss. That's, you know, that's what you're looking for in a game. You're looking for something that, mwah, you know. But the game was a commercial and critical hit. Like I said, an average rating of 96 out of 100 in modern reviews. And this is considered one of the most important games of all time. Not racing games, not sports simulation, not hyper-realistic games. One of the most important games of all time. And I can see that. I can see why it would be considered one of the most important games. Because it unlocked the potential of an entire genre that had been stale or ignored. You know, aside from maybe Formula One and IndyCar, excuse me. This is what, you know, led to stuff like NASCAR being created in the video game world. It won all the awards you can think of in 1999. Best simulation. It won the UK PlayStation Perfect 10 of the year. It's considered the grandfather of all racing games made after 1998. Because, like I said, there was some racing games released pre-98. I had a copy, of Formula 1 95. And that was as realistic as it got. You know, just making sure that this, the engine and the physics and, you know, the graphics too. For a PlayStation game, the graphics weren't as blocky as PlayStation games of the day were. Definitely better than what the stuff Nintendo was doing, but definitely doing better than what most of the PlayStation stuff was doing. It did lead to performance issues, but, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too at that time. Now, nowadays, you know, people with their hyper setups or their PCs can run graphics that 4K while playing the most intensive scripted games of all time with ease. But this was the PlayStation. This had to work. This was running off a CD and memory. You know, there wasn't a hard drive. It's run off a memory card if you saved stuff. So, you know, it was a good game. It was a great game. I'd rate it a 9 out of 10 personally. It's one of the greatest racing games ever released. It was hard for me as a kid to play the harder modes, but it didn't frustrate me like, say, Mario Kart did. Mario Kart frustrated you because you were winning by your skill, and then you got hit with a red shell, and you dropped down to fifth. Whereas this game, you had to have skill to play it, and you had to. This was one of these games where you had to get good, and I tried, and it didn't work, but I still didn't, you know. The bits of the game that I could play, that I did pull off, that I could play in two-player mode, you know, I enjoyed. And that's unusual for a game where I'm not very good at. Usually, you know, I'll get hyper-frustrated and, you know, not throw the control pad, but rage quit. I don't throw control pads because, you know, those are expensive. It's like mic dropping. You don't drop it. If the people who say I'll drop the mic have never worked with a microphone before, because those things are expensive and some of them will break the floor. But but no, one of the things that makes this game, though, as I mentioned, is the soundtrack. The soundtrack is unreal. I mean, one of the finest video game soundtracks ever put together. And this was in the era, of course, where all video games had contemporary soundtracks. You know, Tony Hawk had contemporary soundtracks. There was another skating game. I'm not sure what it was called. We played the till the disc wore out on it. And I can't remember what it was called. I'd have to ask my brother that. Oh, well, it's too late to call him right now. It's as I'm recording this, it's 11 o'clock at night, so I'm not going to call him and say, what's the skating game we played? No, I'm not going to do that. But I think one of the great things about it is, like I said, the soundtrack makes the game. You lose 2 points without it to a 7 out of 10 game. And it doesn't feel as rushed and as rough as most of the other games of that era. It feels smooth. It feels intuitive. It's just hard if you don't know how to play these kind of games. So, I mean, the franchise still goes on today. As of recording, Gran Turismo 7 is the most recent release. It raised the bar for all racing sim games to have better graphics and physics. And, like I said, it was the first game to issue in, you know, the PlayStation Rumble packs with the dual stick controls, which now everybody has. Nintendo has it. Xbox has it. I'm pretty sure that if Sega was around, they would have it. I think they did that for the Dreamcast, but I'm not sure. You have to, don't quote me on that one. They've been able to improve their content without taking away the core gameplay. They've basically taken what works and made it better. And what doesn't work, they've taken away and made what works, you know, better about it. So, yeah. So that is my very, very quick review of Gran Turismo, the original Gran Turismo. So what do you think? Tell us on our social media pages. You know, there's going to be no graphics for this week's episode. There's going to be no cute little social media question or anything like that. Tell us what you think. Go ahead and check out on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Look us up, okay? Now, why am I doing this episode today, and why am I calling this the mid-season break? Well, I am having to go in for nasal surgery. And that's going to stop me from being able to talk properly and breathe properly and get things together for a couple of weeks. So we're going to be back. Let's see when this episode is dropping. This episode is dropping, excuse me, on the 5th of February. So we'll be back on the 5th of March. And like I said, you know, just to give me enough time to heal and get some more content recorded and out the door, okay? So, yeah, I'm going for nasal surgery. I've needed this done since I was 17. My own fault, my nose got messed up. And now I'm paying for it 20 years later. Actually, longer than 20 years. But back when I was in school, I was a boxer. And I was wearing the face mask that makes your nose stick out just a little bit too far. And I got socked right on the nose. And it bust my nose completely. So I'm trying, y'all. I'm trying to get this fixed for health reasons. So I'll be able to breathe properly and stop me from snoring. Which will be fabulous. And if you ask my wife, that'll be actually a lifesaver for her too. but that is it for this week. Thank you for spending time with me. I appreciate it. You know, like I said, these episodes go quicker when it's just me. Because I have nobody to bounce off of. And I've got nobody to, you know, reminisce with or anything like that. But that's okay. If you like the episodes where I reminisce with people, go check out becausewomennetwork.com. That's where all our archives are. That's where you find every episode of everything we've done ever. And by the time this goes out, I'll have updated it to reflect season 9. Yes. Also, go check out Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's where you'll find all the latest news and what's going on. It's easier to update social media than it is to, say, update a website with a news page and a blog page. So, social media is where it's at. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For what Twitter is worth these days. Newsflash is not worth $44 billion. Oh, well. And, of course, if you listen to this on somewhere that's not where you listen to podcasts, if you listen to, say, Apple Podcasts, we're on Apple Podcasts. Actually, we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, Pandora, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, and Amazon Music. So if you like listen to podcasts on those things, go ahead and listen to us over there. So, that is it for this episode. I've got a lot of work to do between now and the time I get my face fixed. So, everybody take it easy. In fact, by the time this episode comes out, I'll already have been through the procedure. So, go me. And I'll obviously on the 19th of February probably release extra. Let us know where we're at with everything going on, okay? And until the next time I speak to you, everybody take it easy. Go ahead and say hi to your parents. Reminisce. Shake hands. Kiss babies. I don't know what I'm talking about. I never know what I'm talking about when I'm closing these things out. I have no idea. I think I'm just going to do what I did last time. Tell everybody have a good week. Have a good month. And we will see you next time. Take it easy, everybody. Bye.